Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Driveline Podcast. I'm Trevor Johnson, and I'll be your host today. And today we have the mayor of Sioux Falls, Mayor Paul Tanakin. How are you doing?
Trevor, I'm doing great, man. This is cool. Thanks for having me on the show. You guys get some big swingers on this.
We try to, and it's an honor to have you on. And
yeah.
Sioux Falls is such a growing place, and I've been nothing but impressed with everything that you've done with the city. And so I was happy to have you on here to kind of talk about some things truck, some things auto, but a lot of things just like life and how you ended up in this position. So what is kind of your backstory?
Real quick backstory. I grew up in the People's Republic of Minnesota. And that's a joke. I grew up in Minnesota. It's changed a lot since I grew up there. Moved to Sioux Center, Iowa for college. I went to Dort University.
Right.
And I was a graphic designer. So a lot of people ask me, like, what did you go to school for to be a mayor? I'm like, well, I was a graphic designer. So who knows what your path will bring you. But
right.
Moved to Sioux Falls in 2000, did marketing roles for 7-8 years. In 2008, end of 2007, I started a company called ClickRain, a digital marketing agency. At that time, we were really focused on social media because that was like brand new.
Right.
MySpace was the main site, and Twitter was new. And
straight and MySpace marketer.
Yeah. I mean, one of my first projects was I created a MySpace page for a politician to, you know, help him reach a new constituency. And anyway, did that for 10 years until 2018. And about 2016-ish, started to feel the itch to, you know, serve in a different way. You know, I really enjoyed my clients and the work I was doing, but just felt called to serve this community. Didn't know what that would look like. So I decided to run for this office with no background in public service or, you know, never expecting, you know, when I was little to get into politics or, you know, get elected for anything, but did it. Got elected in 2018, got reelected in 2022. It's a term limited position. So April 2026, I'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 months to go to get across the goal line here.
Yeah, you went through quite a few things being mayor of Sioux Falls in these last, you know, 6 years or however long it's been. But kind of how did you go from marketing and what has that taught you to being mayor? Like,
yeah.
What has that taught you about leadership, about anything like that?
Well, I think at the core of being a good elected leader is the ability to communicate with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and marketing at its core is communication, communicating messages. And, you know, in government, we're communicating to our constituency on what we're doing well, what we're not doing well, where we need help, what we need the community to get involved with. And so I think that's really served me well. I think the other thing that marketing has really helped me with in this role is I use my social media channels pretty effectively to communicate with constituents.
Right.
You know, and I think I got on Twitter in 2007. Okay. So I've been on Twitter for 17 years, man. I don't know how old you are, but most of your life I've been on Twitter. So have you figured out how to use those channels effectively and how not to use them effectively as well? There's mm-hmm. a lot of ways that those aren't used well today. They're abused. There's a lot of anger and vitriol in them as well if you don't choose your battles carefully. So I think that communication background really helps when you're an elected leader because that's really the core of what we do is we communicate with people on stuff we're working on.
Yeah, well, I think that social media channels, especially, I'm sure you know a lot about it, but the fact that there's so much negativity on there, but there's also so much ability to grow positivity, I think, as well. If you look at it, like, there's always two sides of that coin.
Very much.
So what have you, like, learned about social media that mm-hmm. has helped you, like, grow your campaign? Or, like, how did you run your campaign to run for mayor?
Great question. I think the motto I live by on social media these days is don't swing at pitches in the dirt. And I talk about that a lot. And you know, in baseball, if you want to strike someone out, you throw a slider, curveball, you know, sinker, whatever, and those dive into the dirt and they're hard to hit. And mm-hmm. so typically you swing and you miss, but they look really appealing to swing at. And that's kind of social media. There's a lot of people throwing pitches in the dirt. They want you to take the bait. They have anonymous accounts. They say mean things about you and negative stuff. And really, Nothing good ever comes from that. Nothing good comes from engaging in destructive dialogue online. And so I try to keep most of my content positive, try to keep it about issues that I actually have control over. Mm-hmm. You don't see me weighing in on topics around the federal election or the border or mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade or the Israel-Hamas war. I mean, there's just, I don't have any control over those. So there's really not a lot of sense in me using my bully pulpit to spout off my opinion, because my opinion on those issues is no more valuable than yours, mm-hmm. Because neither of us have any control over them. But you will see me talking about potholes and infrastructure and the economy and right. local public safety and policing and all those things that I think are really important to local government. So I use the phrase a lot, you know, I'm in the highest office. So people ask, oh, you know, you ever want to run for higher office? Or it's like, I am in the highest office. I'm in local government. And like the rubber really hits the road at local government. I mean, nothing mm-hmm. they do in DC really affects your day-to-day life as much as your local government affects your day-to-day life. Whether the water turns on, the cops come if we call them, the roads we drive on, did the streetlights work, did the schools open today, did your school board make sure there was teachers in the chairs, like all those things that affect your day-to-day life are local government.
Well, I see a lot of my friends getting really worked up about national politics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys don't hardly even know who anybody in state office or local government is. And that affects your life way more than whoever's on that big stage. So
I was with a group today, Trevor, and we were talking about, there's a lot of amendments, ballot initiatives, things on our ballot this November here in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the room, I said, hey, do you know what the Amendment G is? And they're like, no. I'm like, do you know what IM 2028 is? And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. And about 29. And just a lot of education that had to be done. They all know, of course, who's running for president, mm-hmm. and they all know who's their vice presidential candidates, and they, you know, maybe even know who's running for our congressional seat. But I'm like, these ballot initiatives, if some of these pass, it will have substantial impact on your everyday life.
Yes.
So, like, you need to educate yourself on those things as much as you do. Are you going to fill in the Harris or Trump oval, you know, yeah. in the ballot box? Because those local issues are just as important.
Well, I think that just comes down to honestly marketing dollars. Like it's, mm-hmm. you don't see those local ballot initiatives
right.
on social media. Like you're blasted with them every day
right.
on Facebook when you go right. on there about somebody's opinion. But I know you've kind of gone through a lot of tough times with Sioux Falls, as far as like COVID, all these floods, like how do you tackle some of those bigger issues?
Well, yeah, it's been an interesting 6 years, man. I mean, we had, you know, the first tornadoes in our city in 25 years, and that was preceded by some floods that we had. And then obviously the pandemic just wrecked all of our worlds. And then, you know, we've felt our share of racial, you know, justice, racial tensions from mm-hmm. George Floyd's murder in 2020 and beyond. We had some more flooding. So just,
yeah.
You know, dealing with all those things, I go back to, you know, what we just talked about a minute ago, and that I think people want to be communicated with well when
right.
there's something that goes on. So I remember I got a call from Mike Rounds right after we had tornadoes in our city, and he said, "Hey, how you respond to issues like this is what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
People remember how you respond in a crisis. So, you know, just be bold in your actions." Communicate regularly with people, have press conferences, you know, just tell people what they need to hear. And so going back to that communication background, I think dealing with some of the chaos that we've experienced the last several years, communication has been at the core of that. I think of the pandemic, I mean, every day for like 2 months, I'd have these press conferences.
Yeah.
And they sucked. I mean, I hated doing them. I had to get up there. And I say, okay, here's our COVID counts in Sioux Falls. Here's where our hospitals are at, because our two biggest hospitals in the state are here in Sioux Falls. But I had to communicate with people,
right.
even though I didn't want to. And even though there's days I had nothing to tell them, they were like waiting for, it's like, okay, it's 10:30. Mayor's going to give an update on what's going on with COVID, because
right.
we were just on pins and needles during that time.
Yeah.
So I think you can't over-communicate with people enough during a crisis.
Yeah. Well, I think that COVID was an interesting time, because I know Kristi Noem took the stance of like not shutting everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And was there a talk like throughout the entire state with you guys as well, with like getting on board with that, or how did that work?
You know, The governor during the pandemic, I think history is definitely proving to be on her side with the position, you know, that she took as the leader of the state. And it kind of just trickled down to the rest of our communities that there wasn't a lot of cities in this community. I mean, we were left with local control. How do we want to handle things locally? And in Sioux Falls, you know, we kind of followed that, the beat of that drum a little bit too. I mean, there was very few restrictions here. And I think because of that, we've seen some real historic population growth the last 3 or 4 years because a lot of people moved here from what I would kind of call political refugees, maybe. I mean, they moved from communities where they didn't like how the school district handled their kids' learning. They didn't like how the elected leaders handled the support or lack of support for law enforcement, like all those things. And so they came to South Dakota and they came to Sioux Falls, and it's been good for the most part. So, but yeah, that's a time that, I mean, when I took office in 2018, I heard the word pandemic, but I didn't really exactly knew what that meant. I mean, you've heard the word, but now it's our vocabulary. It's in our vernacular. That was pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. I mean, we use 2020 as, you know, they use before Christ, after Christ, AC and BC. Well, we're going to use 2020. Before, was that before 2020
before
or after?
Before COVID or after
life
COVID?
Changed.
Yeah, no, that was... I didn't know what a mask was until COVID.
Right.
You know, it was such a wild time, and I can't, you know, wait to see it in my kids' history books.
Yeah,
they're going to school.
It will
be
interesting how history judges how we handle that as a country.
Yeah, I think so.
As individual states, as individual communities, because I still think it's going to be a while before we know the full impact. There's a lot of education and learning that has to be caught up on because of what remote learning and the impact on kids. Mental health and emotional health, even their physical health, you know, the toll that took on them. So I think it's going to be a while before we even know the full ramifications of that pandemic.
Yeah, I'm kind of switching gears here, but
good.
I'm kind of curious.
I hate the pandemic, so
I know, I'm kind of curious how at the state and at the city level you guys look at AI and new technologies and driverless cars and that kind of stuff. Is there planning for that kind of stuff, or how's that working?
Yeah, you know, as we look at building out infrastructure, for instance, we got a pretty aggressive just EV readiness study we've been doing right now to look at, you know, charging locales and grant availabilities and things like that. And we work on that with the state. What I'll tell you is that I believe that consumer demand will determine where the industry goes. So my belief is not one where you try to force an industry. Mm-hmm. So there's, and on the topic of EVs for that matter, the adoption here in this market has been slow.
Well, it's been pretty slow pretty much everywhere except for the first adopters.
Yeah. As much as you see, you know, all the ads for it and it's getting pushed so much federally and there's all these subsidies and so forth. It's like, hey, the consumers aren't adopting them. And so... Mm-hmm. We will continue to build out our EV network when the consumers are demanding it. Right now, they're not, and so we're gonna, and not to the, I shouldn't say they're not to the extent we expected.
The
so
extent
our
that
infrastructure,
they pushed.
Extent they pushed.
Yeah,
really.
They said it was gonna come.
So our infrastructure is still, you know, based around, you know, there will be people behind the wheels of cars, you know, for now, and there will be a lot of petroleum-based vehicles in our economy for quite some time. And so we're planning like that accordingly. Does that mean we're just putting our head in the sand and be like, okay, driverless vehicles are never going to happen? They are going to happen.
Right.
And there's experiments even with Waymo and all these other things that are already going on. But I think what we will likely do and what we have done is just looked at other markets and see, okay, how is this playing out in Phoenix? You know, they're beta testing in Phoenix and in San Diego. And when it's ready to be brought to Sioux Falls, we'll bring it here.
Yeah. Well, I think that South Dakota's always been, we've watched everywhere else and we can kind of see it coming. And that way I kind of get the kinks out there. And I think that Arizona is a good place for those Waymo vehicles to be going because they don't have weather conditions.
I think we have a few great case studies to be made in South Dakota for driverless vehicles from Sioux Falls to Rapid, for instance. It's a straight line. You don't have to take a left or right.
Nope.
Put it on the interstate and let them go. And so whether that be with the trucking industry or whether that be with just individual transportation, we could be a pretty good market for a testing ground for that. I think it'd be a pretty safe place. So I really would love to see us, you know, be a little bit of a beta test location for some of those interstate kind of AV driving opportunities, because I think we could perform pretty well in that here.
Well, I've been blown away with how fast AI has come as far as like the image generation. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent images, but it's like we're really close to being photoreal with just generated text images, which is insane. But those AVs, I think, are going to have a bigger impact than we see right now. And we chased EVs so quickly that we're like kind of hesitant on AVs, but they're going to come, and I think they're going to come quick.
And that's why I've also been a big, big advocate of 5G and making sure we have really, really strong connectivity, because in order for AVs to operate efficiently, or any high-end technology operate efficiently, you need connectivity.
Yeah.
And not just the connectivity we're used to watching Netflix. I mean, you need 5G micromillimeter wave connectivity, because the difference between a normal connectivity sending a signal to stop and between vehicles and a 5G connection to stop between vehicles is the difference between life or death. So that latency has to be so low and so responsive to communicate with those vehicles. So connectivity is another thing we can't overlook in the discussion, because without that, none of this stuff works.
Right. Yeah. Well, what projects or things that are happening at the city have you been really excited about lately?
You know, I never thought I would get so stoked about infrastructure, but we just got some great infrastructure projects going on. We have Veterans Parkway South, which the state DOT here in South Dakota has been an incredible partner with us on. I mean, we're putting in miles and miles, thousands of yards of concrete, you know, every week on that project. So I'm excited about that and how that's going to increase east-west traffic flow and economic development down there. And then we have some things in our downtown that I continue to be bullish on. You know, we have a long-term vision of maybe moving our convention center into the core of our city from a current location in what we're calling the Riverline District. We got a lot of work to do to make that happen. Yeah. Certainly we'll continue on after my administration, but we've kind of cast this vision and the community wants to see it happen. And so a couple things I'm really stoked about there.
Where would that be, like north of downtown right now?
Be right east of the viaducts in downtown. So you go to the viaducts, there's a McDonald's there. Okay, right back there is currently a state building. It's the Department of Social Services building.
Okay.
That whole area, about 10 acres, is what we call the Riverline District.
Mm-hmm.
And that could potentially be the home of a new convention center, full service hotel. Really a great, great boon for our downtown if we can make that work.
Get it all kind of in one spot would be awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I know that you are really into running and endurance sports. I've seen a lot of that on your LinkedIn and whatnot. Why do you do that? What got you into it? Where does that come from?
Well, I'm a firm believer that strong bodies is good for your mind. You know, strong body equals strong mind, and mental health gets overlooked a lot. But I don't run a lot or lift weights a lot or bike a lot because I want to be in shape. I actually do it because it's good for my mind.
Yeah.
It gives me time with myself. I can listen to podcasts. I can clear my head. I can pray. I can do all the things that are good for me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I discovered kind of physical fitness 20 years ago. And every year I try and set a big kind of hairy fitness goal, whether it's, you know, an Ironman triathlon or a series of Spartan races or, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I started a run across the state of South Dakota.
Yep.
Where we start on the west side of the state and we finish in Sioux Falls and we raise money for suicide prevention initiatives. And so that was something that I was really excited about, because I'm like, wow, we could do a 10K or, you know, like everybody else does. I'm like, why don't we run across the whole state?
Run 400 miles.
Yeah. So next time you're driving from Sioux Falls to Rapid, you're like, man, this drive is boring. Think about running that whole thing, you know, basically.
How long did that take you?
It was me and 11 others. So there's 12 of us. And we all just rotate for a period of about 72-ish hours.
Oh, okay.
So we just go for 72 straight hours. Someone does a 8, 9, 10 mile leg. They jump in. Next person jumps out. And we do that nonstop for 72 hours so we get across the state.
What's the route?
The last 2 years we started in Spearfish around the Wyoming border.
Yep.
Went down through Sturgis, kind of south of Philip, all the way over to Pier, Fort Thompson, to Mitchell to Hartford, and finished at Grand Falls Casino right on the Iowa-South Dakota border, and then ran back into Sioux Falls.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah, what's the hardest, like, event you've done?
The hardest event I've ever done would... I've done a full Ironman, which was really, really hard, but right. I did something called a Spartan Ultra Beast once. It's a 35-mile, about 100-obstacle race.
Yeah.
And it was in Killington, Vermont, in Mount Killington. And it was a grinder, man. It was 20-some hours took, and it's just...
Oh, my God.
We did like 16,000 feet of climbing, you know, throughout it. And mm-hmm. it was brutal, but
yeah.
It was really fun, really cool, very beautiful. Vermont's very beautiful, but I don't think I have that in me anymore at 46, but I was a younger man then. And
is that the bug? Is that like the, you do one and you get the itch,
you totally
and you're
do.
Like,
yeah,
it sucks every time yeah. and you keep doing it.
No one, when they're like running a marathon, thinks, you know, this is fun. I can't wait to do my next one. They're yeah. thinking, this sucks. I can't wait for it to be done. And then as time passes, 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, you find yourself back online searching for races. Like, oh, right. maybe that wasn't so bad. I'm going to do this again.
So. Yeah, I was really into running. My dad was really into running too. And we did like, I did a bunch of competitions and like cross-country races and stuff. Mm, but I decided that I didn't like it, so I stopped doing it. But I kind of picked it up this last year, and I've been running a bit more. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that would be
good for you.
Fun.
I tell you, my mental health's not in the right space if I don't run yeah. 8-10 miles a week, and you know, do a couple 3-4 mile right. runs every week, and it's really good for me.
Yeah. Well, I think to kind of finish up the podcast today, I think we should kind of talk about like what is your like go-to saying, or what is like words that you live by that you tell people?
Oh man. I mean, all kinds of things, but typically, when I get a chance to like speak in front of groups and talk about, things that are really important to me and things I'm really passionate about, it typically revolves around our work mm-hmm. and how our work is very temporary.
Yeah.
And how our time on this earth is very temporary. And so this is not our forever home. And so my purpose is different than my job. I mean, my job right now is as a mayor, but it's not my purpose. It's not my idea. I wasn't put on this earth to be a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Just so this will be done and I'll do another job. I'll have another job. I'll have another career, but it's not my purpose. And so I always encourage people to never forget that you're not, your identity is not wrapped up in your job or your career. It's in your purpose on earth. I just had a friend, 46 years old, pass away recently, and man, what an incredible service they had. And what they talked about a lot at that service was the type of person he was, the relationships, I mean, how he was with people. I mean, no one eulogizes you and says, man, that Trevor was a great video guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul was a great mayor. Like, who cares? Like,
right.
that stuff is very temporary. But the relationships you form, the impact you have, eternal life, like, those are the things that I'm really, really passionate about. And I like to talk about whenever I can.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you again so much for
my
coming
pleasure,
in today.
Man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Is there any things that you're doing with the city that you would like people to go visit? Any resources that you have?
Tons going on. I mean, our downtown's incredible. If you're in Sioux Falls, check out the downtown. Spend some sales tax dollars. Our downtown's been going through a renaissance the last several years, and we're kind of hell bent on making sure it stays really investable, really enjoyable for tourists. You know, Sioux Falls and Southeast South Dakota, for the second year in a row, had a higher tourism economic impact than the Black Hills region even.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2 years in a row. So a lot of times you think the Black Hills is where the tourism is at in the state, but you know, Southeast South Dakota, whether it be Yankton and Gavin's Point Dam and things down there, Sioux Falls, we really have a lot more people enjoying this community for the tourist amenities and the things that we can provide for, you know, weekend visit or week-long visit or whatnot. So
right.
lots of things to see in our great city. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys all for listening to our podcast. Thank you, Mayor Paul Thanakin, for coming
Trevor.
On today.
My pleasure.
And tune back in next week for our next episode.